In our gospel passage, Jesus is at a banquet and tells a parable about the meal setting. This parable is directed at those who were concerned about their social status and sought the esteem of others. It would have been horrible for them to take the place of honor, only to be embarrassed by the host when asked to move to a lower spot. This humiliation was very clear to those who were caught up in their world of social prestige. Jesus uses this example as a way of highlighting their pride and the danger of living in such a prideful way. He goes on to say, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." There is a story about a CEO of a large company and his wife at a gas station. The CEO notices his wife talking with the gas station attendant. Come to find out, she dated him in high school. After they left the station, the CEO says, "I know what you're thinking. You're thinking you're glad you married me instead of him, or else you'd be the wife of a gas station attendant instead the wife of a CEO." Without missing a beat, the wife responds, "No, I was actually thinking if I'd married him, he'd be the CEO and you'd be the gas station attendant." Pride is difficult. We as human beings are all naturally competitive. We strive to be the best, to win the race, to be successful. But we must realize that pride is one of the seven deadly sins, and in fact is referred to as the mother of all sins. This is because pride leads to every other sin, and in many ways is the source of all sin. In the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve did not eat of the forbidden fruit because they were hungry. They ate because they wanted to be like God. Their pride caused them to disobey God and sin, and we suffer today from that same sin. If we want to free ourselves of pride, we should seek humility on a daily basis. Yes, a daily basis. We can never examine our consciences often enough concerning our pride and self-reliance. And let's face it, pride and self-righteousness can be awkward and even ugly. We've all seen it. Someone makes an obvious mistake, but instead of acknowledging it, they excuse it or blame it on someone else and refuse to accept their error. And something else about pride: God really despises it. Proverbs tell us, "The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished." There are a few things in sacred scripture which tell us that God despises, but pride is repeated several times. God not only hates pride, but he actively opposes it. In James we read, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." In the beautiful Magnificat, Mary tells her cousin Elizabeth, "God has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly." It is clear that God does not like nor condone pride. Humility, which is the opposite of pride, is nothing more than seeing things as they really are. A humble person sees himself in the truth of God. This can be difficult because it requires that we see ourselves as we really are: weak, sinful, and very dependent upon God. Yes, it's true that we may be able to accomplish worldly things through our talent and hard work. Maybe we can fly fighter jets. Maybe we can become a general. But we cannot achieve true happiness and goodness unless we open ourselves to the truth of our weaknesses and our dependence upon God. Humility also helps us to purify our hearts of something that is very hard to let go of: the esteem of others. Pride causes us to seek out that esteem for our happiness, and that's a dangerous road to go down, because it leaves us constantly dependent upon the opinions of others. And far too often, their opinions are based on false or very superficial criteria. So who carries this burden of pride and self-righteousness? All of us do, at least to some extent, male, female, young and old. Surveys show that 90% of the people think themselves above average. There's also an irony with pride. Often, the proud person thinks they're humble, and the humble person thinks they're proud. It has been said far too often, modesty is one of my best qualities. So humility is at best difficult, and it's also very easy to fall into the trap of justifying ourselves and becoming self-righteous again. I once heard a saying that I believe is truly true. Humility is not thinking less of ourselves, it's thinking of ourselves less. But pride can be tamed if we do our best to do just a couple of things well. First, we have to understand about God's mercy. Understanding the mercy of God frees us to take our eyes off of ourselves and set aside self-justification and righteousness. And it frees us from being so defensive. And it helps us to see ourselves in the light of truth. Why is that? Because when we recognize God's mercy for what it is, we also realize that nothing can keep us from God, not even our sins. In fact, the greater the sinner, the more that sinner is deserving of God's mercy. So understanding God's mercy actually enables us to acknowledge our sins, which is a move toward humility. And acknowledging our sins is that second important step we can take. We have to know that it's okay to admit our sinfulness. No, we do not have to stand on a street corner and tell everyone our sins. But we do have to acknowledge it to ourselves and to God, especially in the confession. And at times, it may be necessary to acknowledge our sins to others, to those we have hurt, so that we can ask for their forgiveness and mercy. God gives grace to the humble. When we witness the true sincerity and humility of someone, it touches us. It's hard to criticize someone who expresses their sinfulness and asks for our forgiveness. Humility can win over the most hardened of hearts. So let us pray for the intercession of our Mother in Heaven, the Blessed Virgin Mary, that we receive the grace and humility to be like St. Paul, who stated, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen.